Welcome to the Ozaki Family Wellness Podcast. Each episode is meant to inform you and empower you with knowledge and actionable steps to improve your health and wellness. You will enjoy quick wellness tips, parenting resources, and learn about local businesses that are here to support you on your wellness journey. Your host, Dr. Camille Berger, is here to encourage and guide you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome back. We're going to do our first guest expert interview. So today I have with me Grace, and we're going to talk about homeschooling from
the homeschooler's perspective.
Yes, from the student's perspective. So Grace, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, of course. I feel like expert is kind of a stretch, but I'll take it. I appreciate it.
I feel like you lived it. So that,
that
in my
is true.
Book
I did. That
makes you an expert. So why don't you introduce yourself to us?
Sure. So my name is Grace Ungemach. I work the front desk and some social media here at Early Beginnings. I grew up in South Carolina my whole life until I went to college in Minnesota and then made my way over here. My husband is in a master's program in Mequon. So that's kind of what brings me to the area. I really enjoy all sorts of different exercising, like running and weightlifting, and I like getting artsy with some fun craft projects in my free time as well. So that's me.
Awesome. So let's dig right into it.
Sure.
How did your family get started with homeschooling? And if you know, what was your parents' intention to homeschool?
Sure. So my parents met and got married and had me and my sister in Michigan. That's like where I was born. And so when they decided to move to South Carolina for my dad's job, was right about around the time when my sister and I were going to start looking for kindergarten, preschool for us too. So they were looking around in the area and they really wanted to send us to a parochial school, but there just weren't any in the area that they felt like they aligned with or enjoyed for us. So my mom had a neighbor friend in our apartment who homeschooled her two kids. And I feel like my mom grew up with that idea of like homeschoolers being just a little bit like not socialized or whatever. So she was kind of afraid, but this neighbor friend and family were super cool, super great. And the mom encouraged her to look into it. So she went to a free seminar in the area, like get started homeschooling, that sort of thing, and decided to give it a try at least for first few years. She's like, I can do kindergarten. Like I can handle that. And then it just kept working as we grew up. So it was good.
That's awesome. I feel like it's a really common misconception about homeschooling is that your kids won't be socialized. So it's really awesome that your mom was able to meet someone that was homeschooling and see that it is a viable option. And
100%.
There are ways to allow for socialization.
So 100%. Cool. Yeah.
All right. So what curriculum? That is like a huge topic in the homeschooling arena.
Yeah.
Did you guys use a curriculum? And if so, which ones?
Yeah, we did. We did. So when we were really little, I honestly don't remember. I think it was a lot of like the books that you'd get from, you know, walk into Barnes & Noble or like it was Sam's Club for us. And they had all like the Learn Your ABCs and that kind of stuff. And that definitely gave us a good start. But when we got into grade school, we used Alpha and Omega. They make the life packs. We used those for a while. During middle school, I went online to Connections Academy, which is basically public school, but online and in your home. So I had teachers online. I had to log on like on time for my live lesson classes. And that was very good because it was way less hands-on for my mom. Like I had my teachers, she was just there to support. And I feel like at that middle school age is kind of when I started getting more independent with it too, which was good. Later in high school, I left Connections and I did kind of just puzzle pieced it together from what we had learned was good for those higher level classes. I did some Bob Jones, Saxon for math was awesome. And we tried Abeka. We didn't love Abeka, but used that for a couple courses. And then I finished all my high school credits a semester early. So I took the second semester of my senior year to study for CLEP tests. Have you heard of CLEP tests?
No.
So it stands for CLEP, so college level something something. And basically it's like AP classes, but without the classes and just the test. Okay. So you pay for the test and then you go to like a tech college or wherever the station is, and you can get college credits that way. So I had to like independently study for the tests, but then it was a super cheap option to get college credits. So I did that my second semester and then studied for my SAT during that semester too, just using online courses, that sort of stuff.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So in your experience, almost the homeschooling through high school kind of gave you a leg up.
I think so. And it's different for everybody because everybody works at their own pace for sure. But it was great because if I understood something, I could just like move to the next lesson. Mm-hmm. So by the end, you know, I was that much farther ahead and had that extra time to do those other things too, which was great.
So how many college credits did you enter into college?
Yeah. So you'll have to check like with the college that you're going to, because some of them only accept some of them or whatever. But I came in with 3 credits of English, three credits of biology. I didn't have to take biology and that was awesome. sorry, doctor. Not a big fan. That's okay. And then I tested out of calculus too, which was super fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
The connections. Mm-hmm. So for that, how many hours online a day were you doing?
Yeah. So it was interesting. So you had like one of your core classes every day for an hour online, live. But then all of your other classes that day were asynchronous, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you had your like your lesson would pop up in your little to-do list online and you go through and you read the things, watch the videos, do the interactive, whatever, whatever, take the quiz at the end, and then it was done. So it was only like live with the teacher for an hour a day, and then you had the rest of your day to work on those like to-do list checklist items. And I don't know if that's still how they do it, but that's how they did it when I was there. Yeah, it was good.
I looked into the public school online option for the 2020 school year for, I feel like, obvious reasons.
Yeah. a lot of people did, that's for sure.
And it was all day for my third grader. And I was like, this is not for us. What in the world?
Yeah.
They had like they had a sample class that had been recorded that she could watch. And I look over and she's like spinning around in the chair as like the kids are reading this book. Yeah. And I'm like, nope, not for my kid.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe it's gone a little farther digital than it was, because they would send us, and it was free because it was public school. They would send us all the books that you needed and whatever. And I think the quote unquote learning coach or the parent was expected to do like that reading and stuff. So maybe they've gone a little more online. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure every school district is a little different, too, because this was specific. I think it was just Wisconsin in general.
Oh, sure.
I don't remember. It was a while ago. Mm-hmm. But, all right, other than what we've already talked about, how would you describe a typical day? What did it look like
for
you?
Sure. So my mom made sure it was always very structured. Like, we would get up at a certain time, you know, make our bed, breakfast, shower, get dressed. Like, it was very much not allowed to do school in your pajamas kind of a thing, which back then I was super upset about, but now I'm thankful for. My mom was right there with us, at the kitchen table or whatever, helping us work through our books, up until, like I said, about eighth grade or so. And from then on, I would read the lessons or pages or chapter, and kind of make sure I got it. And then she would really only be there to like proctor if I had a test or a quiz or whatever. So it became much more independent. Definitely not like what you picture or maybe see on TV where the mom is like standing up in front of a whiteboard and all of her kids are listening. Like it was casual while being structured. So we had definitely what we had to get done in a day, but as soon as we got it done, like, we were free to do whatever else with our time. Mid-morning, we'd always go for a walk around the neighborhood or go to the park, or play in the backyard or whatever, take a little break. Normally, especially when I was younger, we'd finish up our subjects by lunchtime or have a little bit more work to do after lunch. In high school, it was definitely longer. But for most of my life, I would say it was just about done by lunch, which a lot of my public school friends were like so confused by that. But it makes sense when you think about taking out all of the transition time and kind of building that stuff into your life without having to have it be in the school day. And then our afternoon was kind of our creative time. We would do like crafts or learn about anything else that we enjoyed, or just kind of take the afternoon off to be kids. And cool. So, yeah, it was good. It was, yeah, we had what we needed to get done and we got it done and then we could move on.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. In what ways did that benefit you?
Yeah, I think it benefited me and my sister in a lot of ways. The main thing being independent learning. I feel like that's a strength of mine that I've taken from it. 'Cause when we didn't understand something in school, obviously when we're younger, our parents can help us. But by the time I got to like pre-calc, my dad is like, I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to check on that. So it would kind of be on me to like, okay, I'm gonna go on YouTube. I'm gonna find something. I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna go on Khan Academy, figure out how to do it. And so that's something that I think I still use today. And I also just learned how to be efficient with my time, because it was on me. Like, if I wanted to get done by lunch, I had to work. Like, mm-hmm. I had to get it done. And so that's something I carry with me too. I think knowing my learning style is really powerful too. I think kids grow up without necessarily knowing like how they best learn, whether that's through their ears or through their eyes or with their hands. And it's so powerful when you're homeschooled, because as soon as you figure that out, you can take like the lesson of the day and learn it in the way that makes sense to you, and have that flexibility to know the material that much more quickly. And then I also had just a lot of extra time that a lot of my public school or private school friends didn't have, to work on things that I was passionate about and that I enjoyed. So definitely a lot of benefits.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Were there any drawbacks that you saw with homeschooling?
That's a great question. I think there definitely can be. I think it's like a slippery slope, sort of a thing. I definitely think if I didn't have the structure that my mom kind of like gave to my sister and I don't think I would have been as successful. I know kids need that structure as they're growing up, and so while it was definitely more flexible than going to public school or private school, I think the structure, I definitely need it. I feel like when moms get into homeschooling or hear about it, they can tend to say like, oh, I could never do that, mm-hmm. or whatever. And it does sound intimidating, so I understand that. But the bottom line is like, if you don't want to, you won't. And if you want to, you'll figure it out.
That goes with anything. That's
exactly. 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 So I would say, like, don't tell yourself you can't, if you want to. Like, there are so many resources out there that can help you with any issue that you're going to come up with. Like, the homeschooling community is so big, and like, there are so many different like corners of it. You can find what works for you. But definitely having structure of some sort, whatever that looks like for a homeschooling family. And then just knowing that, like, if it's for you, it's going to work out. And if it's not, then that's okay too, kind of a thing.
Those are great words of advice. Do you have any other words of caution for parents?
Ooh, caution. this is tough because I have to think about it from a parent's perspective and not mm-hmm. from a kid's perspective. But I would say don't rush it, like, especially if your kids have, I was homeschooled my whole life, so I don't, to some extent, I don't know what my life would have looked like without it. But if your kids are coming from public school, coming from private school, coming from a day school, it's going to take a good long while for them to understand the system, understand the new routines, understand the expectations, and that all those things aren't lowered. They're still there, but it just looks differently how you get to it. So, like, stick to the routine, stick to the expectations, and just give it a lot of time for that transition to happen.
Wonderful. Switching gears, what about your social life? Did you have one? Everyone wants to know.
Did I have one? Yeah.
And for those parents listening, thinking about homeschooling or who are homeschooling, what are some ways to ensure that their children get socialization and have the opportunity to develop social skills?
That's a great question. I was very plugged into my church. I did a lot at my church and youth group and, going to VBS and then later helping out with VBS and all that sort of fun stuff. I played soccer. Soccer was like my main thing from when I was little all through college. I really got plugged into that and made a lot of friends through that. There is actually, I think it was maybe Tim Tebow who made the law, but there's a law that was, like, put into action when I was growing up. And maybe it's just South Carolina. I don't know. But, like, homeschoolers have to be allowed to play sports on the public school team or whatever. So that was really cool. I was able to play for the town I grew up in, and meet a lot of people that way. So I definitely felt like quote unquote normal, like with my friends from school. As far as advice goes, I would say definitely have one for sure, more if you think that's healthy, but one extracurricular that they definitely enjoy and then like totally go all in on that. And if that means lessons, then great. If that means getting them to practices every day, great. Like, if that means telling them to use their extra time to train, or, like, for me, I went on a lot of runs and did a lot of, like, drills in my backyard and all that fun stuff. I think that's huge because that'll get them plugged into, like, a community around that thing. And then also, co-ops were something that I never did, but I know a lot of my homeschooled friends had co-ops that they were a part of. So that's definitely an option to meet people. And then when I was in Connections, there were a lot of people that I met online. So they had a bunch of clubs that met like once a week or once a month or something like that. And it was all very safe and secure, but I met like one girl from Texas that I like started connecting with over our like school email. And then eventually we met and it was like super awesome. Fun. Yeah. So, there's a lot of opportunities there too, especially now, to meet people and have that interaction.
As you're talking about this, one thing that comes to my mind is like 4-H.
Yeah.
So our kids being in school, I think about going to a 4-H meeting at 7 o'clock at night.
I know.
And I'm like, but they have basketball.
Right.
And then they have 4-H and we have to eat in there.
Right.
And I'm like, what about homework?
Right.
It almost seems like homeschooling would afford more flexibility to do that where it is social. And not, like, I don't know, like in school, they're not really supposed to talk in the classroom.
Correct.
So is that even social?
I know. That's what I would always come back to people with when they would say like, oh, like, do you have any friends? Whatever. And people still make jokes like that and I can take it lightly now. But, I feel like that's so true where you're not so emotionally and like socially drained by the end of the day that you have nothing left to give to those things. Yeah, I was always, like, totally ready for soccer practice. Like, let's go. And it's at, like, 7:30 at night, but it's the thing that I've been looking forward to all afternoon.
Got your work done so you could go.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, that's really, that's something I never thought about. I mean, like, just from the parental perspective of all the driving and the coordination and then, like,
and homework. Another thing. Yeah.
And homework.
Exactly.
Well, all your homework was homework and it was given to you in the morning, so you finished.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, oh, you got it.
Okay, so, college applications. We talked a little bit about the college credits or the AP type credits. How about college applications? Did you have a high school diploma? How does that work?
That's a great question. So when you get signed up to homeschool, I think this is how it works, but you have to be under an association. So like the powers that be know that your children are going to school. So we were a part of, I think ironically it was called Grace Association, Homeschool Association, and they threw a big graduation every year. And so there were probably like 120, 150 kids in my, quote, graduating class. And our graduation was like an hour and a half north of where we lived. It was at this huge, like, somewhat of a church, somewhat of a, like, convention center sort of a thing. We had our cap and gowns. We had our diplomas. A lot of us got the state scholarships that our public school friends also got, because when you're signed up through an association, they do all that, like, paperwork for you, which is great. So because of that, college applications were really easy. I thought they were going to be super hard and colleges would be like, oh, she's homeschooled. Like, do we want to do this? But it was fine. So I applied to three colleges and I was accepted to all of them, which was fantastic. No one really asked about homeschooling. I just don't think it was as big of an issue as I was making it out to be in my head. My grades and then also my standardized test scores were there to kind of back me up. Because I had that extra time to study for my SAT, I was able to get a really high score, which then they see and they're like, okay, like, she can't fake an SAT score. Like, this is fine. I qualified for the Palmetto Fellow Scholarship, which is like the big in-state scholarship. Had I chosen to go to school in South Carolina, I could have gone just about anywhere for free. So it's like, it's good. Like, if you're homeschooled, there are still plenty of opportunities to get those grants, to get those scholarships, and to get into college. And we already talked about CLEP tests, so that was also a really, really helpful thing.
I have a follow-up question about that.
Yeah.
So grades for, like, I think for, like, grade school, it's not such a big deal.
Correct.
But high school, like, I went to a public high school, so it was very much, like, projects and tests. Very little homework, especially once you get to junior, senior year. And I'm just curious, like, did you sit down and take, like, tests that were graded? And did you do projects that your mom then graded? Like, how did that work?
Sure. Yeah. So it's different for everybody depending on, like, how you're doing it. I definitely took tests. And it was the sort of thing where my mom was the proctor. And she had to take care of her own set of paperwork and signing off, you know, different things that basically she promised she wasn't fabricating anything. And that's all through the association. So she would give me the test, you know, it's classic, like, make sure your phones are off, whatever, which obviously they were, but, and then I'd sit down, take it, and then she would grade it according to the answers in the book. Projects are a little different. Projects were, it's kind of hard to say because sometimes we would have to send them in to the association, like scan them in and that sort of thing. But a lot of times projects were like pass fail kind of a thing. Tests contributed more to your GPA than projects ever did because it's so subjective. Like, did they do a good job or did they not? And of course, your mom is going to think you did a good job. So that was never really weighed into my GPA as much as tests were, testing quizzes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's not what I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting. I didn't think of, like, sending it somewhere else. But that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, high school is a little bit, like, you're, especially if you're preparing for higher education, yeah. you have to make sure those skills are there. So at the very least, you're not wasting the money on college.
Correct. Yes, yes, yes. And it was very test heavy for that reason, which is something that I personally like thrive in, mm-hmm. test taking. It's tough. When I was in Connections, there were a lot more projects because the teacher was the one grading it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we'd put it in a bubble mailer and we'd send it in. And then 2 weeks later, I'd get my grade back. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can go about it to make it very, very official and very not subjective. So it's never on the parent to be like, is this good or is this not mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
That's nice. Yeah. I'm just thinking about all the paper mache and dioramas that just you can't mail. So I guess you weren't doing those things.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, we sent in pictures of those things. But
oh, yeah. You still had to do them. Dioramas.
Oh, the joy.
Maybe some people like them. Yeah. But I won't hate on dioramas
too much.
That has caused some stress in our lives.
It definitely caused stress in ours too.
All right. So I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
What is one of your favorite memories of homeschooling?
Oh, this is cute. I like this question. So I got to do some thinking about this one. I came up with two. So the first one was always after Halloween, which is, this is convenient because after Halloween, we got to choose one piece of candy out of our bag to take with us on our walk. And, you know, my sister was like 3 and I was like 7. And this was like, you know, the biggest deal of the century that we got to have candy in the mid morning, like not with a meal. It just felt so special. And like our walks were like our daily ritual. So, that's always super special to think about. The second greatest memory was honestly getting my SAT score back. And I'll explain why. I always felt like growing up, I had to prove myself to my peers and honestly to adults who I knew were doubtful of what I was doing or like what my mom was doing or like suspicious of, you know, whatever. And so that is like the most standardized, like strict mm-hmm. sort of a thing. And so I was so proud and excited when I got it back and it was a good score. And I just felt like, okay, I'm doing something right. Like I'm on the right track. And it was kind of, I don't know, it was kind of a way to like prove to myself that I like could do it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was fun. Yeah, it was good.
Well, thank you so much.
Of course.
It was wonderful to hear insight from the student's perspective. You definitely talked about some things I didn't think about and
awesome.
Raised some new questions for me.
Very cool.
So I always like so doing much. That.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining your host, Dr. Camille, today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. If you found value in the content provided, please share this with a friend. You never know how far-reaching something you think, say, or do will affect the lives of millions tomorrow.